You can lose your mind, I guess. You can lose your family. You can lose your job. You can lose your home. You can lose your health. But you don't want to lose your faith. Because that's the one thing you're going to need. All the rest of those things, you're not going to need those when this life is over with. You're going to lose all of them anyway. But your faith, your relationship with God, you don't want to lose that. And sometimes we do lose things that are precious to us, things that we really are trying to hold on to. Something important to us, something that we care about, but we lose it either because of the misfortune of life or because of carelessness. We lose things. And most of the time they can be replaced, but some things can't be replaced. And once lost, they pretty much stay that way. If you lose your faith, you can get it back, but it's really hard. You don't want to lose your faith. When you stand before God, you want to have that intact. Let's talk about it for a few moments this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18 and 19, Paul writes to Timothy, and he has a close relationship with Timothy, and Timothy is a faithful Christian and a godly servant, a minister, a helper of Paul, a figure who looms large in the story of the founding of the church and the growth of the church in the Gentile world. Timothy's a great man of God. And yet, Paul writes to him and encourages him and stirs him to further service, but he also cautions him. And he says, "Timothy, my child, I entrust you with this command in keeping with the previous prophecies about you, so that by them you may fight the good fight." Clearly, Paul thinks a lot of Timothy. Clearly, Paul expects a lot from Timothy. And yet, he goes on to say this in verse 19. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. He says, not only do I want you to do all of these things, which are clearly important and needful, but you need to do this. Hold on to faith. Hold on to it. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and thereby shipwrecked their faith. Now, why would he say that to Timothy unless it was possible that Timothy might also do that? And if Timothy might possibly fail to hold on to his faith, if Timothy might lose his good conscience, if Timothy might suffer a shipwreck of the faith, then who am I to not be concerned about that possibility as well? Doesn't have to happen, won't happen, if we take the right precautions. But it might. So let's think about it. Let's talk about it this morning. Talk about holding on to faith. Now, what we're going to find in the course of this sermon and all the passages we're going to look at, that faith is not just believing something. It's not just accepting something mentally. Because a lot of people go through their life and they say, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus," or "I believe in God," and they say that and they say that, but they don't serve the Lord. They don't do the right thing. Their faith is shipwrecked. They lose their faith. Maybe they say they still believe, but what we're going to find when we look at these passages is people lose their faith. Because faith is more than just something an opinion box that you check on some kind of survey. Faith is living the life. Faith is commitment. Faith is devotion. And people lose that because they don't hold on to it. How's your faith doing? Because if you don't hold on to faith, you can shipwreck your faith. Now think about that language, and that's exactly the language that Paul uses. The expression is exactly that. That's why it's translated that way. Shipwreck. And I've been around some shipwrecks. I've dived a lot of shipwrecks. I've been on a boat that hit a reef. I've been on a boat that was sunk. Went down with it. He said, well, how's that possible? Well, I was wearing scuba gear and the boat went down and I was okay. But the boat's not okay. The boat is shipwrecked. And the thing you need to know about a shipwreck is it's a wreck. When a ship wrecks and it sinks, it's not going anywhere. It has stopped its journey. It is not going to reach its port of destination. The cargo that it carries will not arrive. It is a loss. It is a write-off. And that can happen. Your faith can be wrecked. It can be lost, faith. People talk about, can you lose salvation? Can you lose your salvation? And, you know, we say, well, of course you can lose your salvation. But it's more, you don't just lose your salvation. It's not like your salvation is somehow in jeopardy. The salvation is not what is in jeopardy. It's your faith. You hold on to your faith, the salvation is secure. It's not going anywhere. But you lose your faith, that's the problem. And can you lose your faith? Absolutely. Can your faith be shipwrecked? Yes. That's why you need to hold on to it. Faith can be lost. And some people do that. Is there any doubt in your mind that there are people who lose their faith? I've seen it happen many times in my life. They were faithful, committed, serving the Lord, worshiping, living their life right, praying, but not now. Something happened. Something changed. Is our praying and our worshiping and our living godly lives and our trying to do the right thing and our acting generous and kind and all the things that we do in our service to the Lord, is that not matter? Is it inconsequential? Does it not matter whether you do those things or not do them? Yeah, it matters, because if you stop doing them, you've lost your faith. And some people do. And we've all known people who have. And faith once lost is hard to restore. You know, you can raise a shipwreck. You can. But it is really, really hard. It is hard. It is much easier to sink a ship than it is to get it back up out of the water. It is so much easier to keep it from sinking than to try to restore it once it has. And that's the thing you need to recognize about losing your faith and about the precautions that you need to take to make sure you don't lose your faith, because once it is gone, it's really hard to get back. It's as hard as raising a wreck. Possible, but hard. Now let's look at some passages that talk about people who lose their faith. Romans 11, 19 through 20, Paul writes to the brethren in Rome, faithful brethren, serving brethren, Forgiven brethren, saved brethren, he writes them. He says, now you will say branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. Now wait a second. If a person is grafted, if a person is part of the branch of the tree of God, and you're in the tree, you're part of the tree, and you are a living and vital part of God's tree, how can you be broken off? Through unbelief, through lack of faith, through a loss of faith, you can be broken off. And Paul says, now you Gentiles, you know, the Jews didn't believe. They didn't believe in the Christ, and they lost their position. They lost their status. They lost their inclusion in God's tree. And yeah, you were grafted in. You were grafted in because of your faith. You chose to believe. You chose to accept and to be devoted. And you did that, and you're in the tree now, and that's great. But they were broken off. And if they were broken off, you can be broken off. You stand by your faith. You continue to stand by your standing, your participation is by faith. They lost theirs. You can lose yours too. Don't be conceited. Don't say, oh, that'll never happen to me. Oh, I'll never leave the Lord. Don't say that. What you say is, I'm never going to leave the Lord because I know that that possibility exists, and I'm going to do what I have to do to make sure it doesn't happen. They were broken off of their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. That fear is not some constant worry about the status of your salvation. That's not what that is. It's not a wringing of the hands or a doubt or anything like that. What it is it's the precaution. You know the guys on in the deckhouse of the boats, those great boats, you know what they do? They watch. They watch the radar, and they watch the depth meter, and they watch the horizon, and they watch, and they watch, and they watch, because they don't want to be shipwrecked. Now they don't live in constant dread and worry, but they watch. Because that's how you keep from being shipwrecked. Colossians 1:22, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh. He is now reconciled in his body of his flesh in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in him. Jesus has done that for us. I mean, Jesus has done something amazing and wonderful in dying for us on the cross. He has saved us and forgiven us and delivered us. Those of us who are in Jesus Christ, He has done that for us. And Paul's writing to people for whom that is the truth, that is the case, that they are in the body of Jesus and through His death, holy and blameless and above reproach. Not perfect, they're not, you know, they're not, they don't always do the right thing. But in Jesus Christ, they are blameless. In Jesus Christ, they are above reproach. Through His mercy and His forgiveness. And that is their status. And that is how they are. And that is great. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. That throws a little bit of a condition in there. Yeah, you're blameless and holy. Yeah. But you got to continue in the faith, brother. Continue. You know what a boat does? A boat goes. That's what a boat's supposed to do. It goes and it continues and it has a destination and it wants to arrive at the destination. And in the process of going to the destination, as long as it doesn't hit anything, and as long as it keeps the bilge pumps going, and as long as everything is kept in working order and you don't start any big fire or do something crazy, then you get there. If you continue steadfast, on course. But that if is a conditional. It's always conditional. Because you might not continue in the faith. You might veer off track. You might take your eye off of the direction the boat's going in. You might not have checked the charts for the shallows. Maybe. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. For this reason, Paul writes, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. Now, why would he do that? He had not been there in Thessalonica very long. He had just established the church, only been there a few weeks, and he was run out of town. And so he had to leave those brethren. And he was worried about them. They were new in the faith. They were all babes in Christ. He was concerned about them. He writes to them and he wants to know. He wants to know about how they're doing. He was concerned about their faith. For fear that the tempter had somehow tempted you and caused our labor to be in vain. Now why would that be? I mean, they had faith. They were in the faith. They were Christians. They were baptized. They were believers. They were saved. Why would Paul's labor ever be in vain? Because their faith needed checking on. And the tempter has his ways of drawing a person away from their faith. And he can do that to you or I. And as he could have possibly done it to the Thessalonians, Paul writes to Timothy again, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, in that same book we started with. He says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, in this case, the definite article, the, indicates that we're not necessarily talking about one's personal faith. We're talking about the faith of the gospel, the teaching of Jesus Christ. But the two are not dividable. See, there's your faith and there's the faith. And your faith is in the faith. And to lose one is to lose the other. Your faith is your commitment. The faith is the thing you're committed to. It's the doctrine. It's the teaching. It's the way of life. And if you abandoned the doctrine, the teaching, and the way of life, you've lost your faith too. You can't say, well, I'm not living according to the faith, but I still have my faith. Well, it doesn't work that way, my friend. I'm sorry to have to tell you this. But if you abandon the truth, if you abandon the teaching, you've abandoned Christ, you've abandoned your faith. And that's possible. It's not only possible, the Holy Spirit says, it's going to happen for some people. And it has. Now there's a reason why we spend a lot of time and effort going over and over and over again the faith. Because we don't want to abandon it. You know, sometimes people abandon ship. Sometimes they abandon ship, the ship's not even sinking. Have you heard of ghost ships? You heard ships that float out there in the ocean for years? And the reason was because there was some problem or trouble. And the sailors got off the boat. And they left the boat. And the boat is just abandoned. And eventually, ships that are abandoned, they do shipwreck. They do run into something and sink. People abandon the truth. And they do so for lots of different reasons. Part of it is the devil. You know, the devil, the tempter, he puts ideas in our head and makes, you know, and there's so many crazy ideas out there in the world that people buy into. And when they do, they abandon the faith and they lose their faith. And that happens. And we got to take some precautions against that possibility of being deceived. You know, we can be deceived. Lots of people are deceived. I might be deceived. How do I know I'm not deceived? Well, takes a little bit of effort, doesn't it? Sometimes on a boat, You see something and you don't know if it's quite what you're seeing, and you'd have to check that out. Maybe there's a false echo or image, or maybe that slot that you're heading into is on the wrong side of the jetty. You know, you're not heading into the slot, you're heading into the beach. You know, you have to make sure you're not being fooled by something. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. That's how I hit that reef, by the way. I wasn't running the boat when that boat hit that reef. I want you to know that. I wasn't even paying any attention, no. The guy hit that reef. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. 1 Timothy 6:20. This is how you do it. This is how you keep from hitting the reef. Guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Better way of defining that, summarizing that, is the internet. Not everything on the internet is godless chatter and opposing ideas and things falsely called knowledge, but most of it is. Most of what's on the internet is. You see, there is a chart. There is a corrective, something that you can correct your course with. There are stars that you can align yourself with. There's a compass to follow. It's all here. It's not out there. It's here. Now, we have to live in the world and we have to listen to fools. But we don't have to accept what they say. And if you go to school, especially education, if you go to the workplace, if you turn on your TV, if you turn on your radio, if you get on the internet, you're going to hear a lot of fools. Godless chatter. People who don't know what they're talking about. Ideas that oppose the truth. Things that are given as knowledge, but it's not. And if you're not going to abandon your faith, then this is what you're going to have to do. You are going to have to stay true to this. And it's not going to be easy. It takes work to correct your thinking, to constantly know what the truth is. And if you don't do that, you aren't guarding what you've been entrusted with. And you've got to turn away, just like the steersman on the ship turns away. He said, that is a rock that I do not want to run into. Let's turn away from that. That's what you got to do. And if you don't, you will shipwreck. Because all of that is out there and it is constant. It's barraging your brain every day. You got to be careful about that. 1 Timothy 6:21, which some have professed. You know, see this godless chatter and this opposing ideas and false knowledge. Some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. That's what they've done. That's what you'll do. If you do the same thing that those people did, you'll suffer the same consequence. That's the way that works. Their teaching, for 2 Timothy 2:17, and talking about the same kind of thing, their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. Well, there's another metaphor for you. You don't want gangrene. Because some people get that. 2 Timothy 2:18, they say that the resurrection has already taken place and they destroy the faith of some. What a ridiculous idea, the concept that somehow what the Bible teaches about the general resurrection, the resurrection of the dead that we will all experience someday, that is somehow taking place. What a crazy idea. And yet some people believe that. Why do they believe that? Because Hymenaeus and Philetus and guys like that were so convincing and so persuasive, and they had these good arguments. And well, they deceived people. And when people bought into what they had to say, their faith was destroyed. And that's what we have to avoid. Hebrews 3 and verse 12, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about taking care. What's the condition? What's the status? What's the health of your faith? Are you working on it? Are you taking the precautions necessary? What's the condition of the boat, so to speak? We should do all that we can to hold on to our faith and strengthen it. Hold on to our faith. Strengthen the faith. Protect the faith. Guard the faith. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness." You need to pursue all of those things. You notice how he says, pursue faith? Wait a second. Paul, Timothy would write back to Paul, "Paul, I already have faith. That box was checked long ago. I don't need to pursue faith. I got that. I got that in the bag." Well, apparently it's something you need to continue to pursue. Continue to pursue faith. Well, that almost implies that you don't have it. Well, no, you have it, but you need more of it. And you need it to be stronger. You need to pursue the building of your faith. It needs to be part of your game plan. How can I get stronger in my faith? Colossians 2:7, "Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude." Built up in Him, established in your faith. The idea is a constant work in progress. Building it up, adding to it, constantly improving it. And that's what they do. You know, if you ever go on a cruise ship, it's amazing. These cruise ships are huge ships, and they're very well decorated and very well maintained. But they are very well maintained because they're constantly maintaining them. Even out there on the high seas, there's guys hanging off the side of the ship in rigging gear and painting and scraping, and they're always cleaning and they're always redoing and adjusting, and if you don't do that, eventually the ship falls apart and you run into trouble. Well, that's what you do with your faith. 2 Corinthians 10:15, "Not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we shall be within our sphere, enlarged even more by you." And the only thing I want you to really concentrate on is your faith grows. Does your faith grow? Second, 1 Thessalonians 3:2, "And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith." Well, you know, this exercise that we're engaged in right now in this room, that's what that is. To strengthen you and encouraging you as to your faith. It's your faith. It's not my faith. But I can help you with your faith. The church helps one another with our mutual faith. We strengthen each other. We go over the charts, you know, the goal, the destination, the port of call that we're heading for. We think about what it takes to maintain our faith, working on it, constantly reminding ourselves of what it is that we're supposed to be believing and the things we're supposed to be doing. We're working on our faith. That is what we're doing in this room right here this morning. We are working on our faith. And I am part of that process, strengthening and encouraging you. And I hope that I do. But I can't. If you're not here, I can't do that. Paul sent Timothy to those Thessalonians that he was worried about. You know, he wanted to check on their faith. Because they were new in the faith. So he sends Timothy. And he sends Timothy to strengthen and encourage them. Because, you know, a faith that is not growing, a faith that is not getting stronger, is a faith that is stagnating and a faith that is weaker. And you want to hold on to your faith. You don't want to lose that. And that's my sermon this morning. Now,